1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hamas says it will not return Israeli hostages until there's a ceasefire and Israel withdraws from Gaza. It's the first Hamas comment since their leader, Yahya Sinwar, was killed on Thursday. President Biden in Germany said,
"The death of the leader of Hamas represents a moment of justice. He had the blood of Americans and Israelis, Palestinians and Germans and so many others on his hand."
He said he told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to make this an opportunity to seek a path to peace. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris are both in Michigan today, 18 days until Election Day. NHTSA says it's investigating Tesla's full self-driving system after reports of crashes in low visibility conditions, including one that killed a pedestrian. Red flag fire warnings in California from Los Angeles to the Bay Area because of hot, dry, and windy conditions exacerbating the fire risk. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Groups are asking the Wisconsin Attorney General to look into intimidating text messages sent to young adults about voting around the state. Jay Heck of Common Cause says he thinks most won't fall for it.
I think younger people, by and large, I think are less susceptible to some of this stuff that they see in the texts that they get because they're just more used to social media. And I think a lot of them are probably a little more savvy about whether it's true or not.
The texts warn of fines or jail time for breaking election laws. Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. Wisconsin's unemployment rate is holding steady. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says the state's jobless rate was 2.9% in September. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Manitowoc County District Attorney's Office has filed charges against Jesse Vang and Katrina Bauer for the death of 3-year-old Elijah Vu, whose disappearance captivated the state and nation. DA Jacqueline LeBray.
Jesse Vang is being charged with physical abuse of a child, repeated acts causing death, hiding a corpse, and obstructing an officer. Katrina Bauer is being charged with chronic neglect of a child, consequences death, child neglect, and obstructing an officer.
LeBray says a bail and initial hearing will be held today. The Shops at Oshkosh, also known as the Outlet Mall, just off of I-41, has been purchased by a company that's owned by Woodman's Corporation, a large grocery store chain headquartered in Janesville. Oshkosh City Manager Mark Roloff says the city doesn't know what the plan for the site is, but Woodman's had been looking at the area for about 5 years. There are two Woodman's grocery stores in New Wisco, one in Grand Chute and the other in Howard. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Bucks lose in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost their final preseason game to the Mavericks 109-84. Doc Rivers says it was important for the younger players, like A.J. Johnson, to get in some playing time with their veterans.
Like, I look at A.J. Johnson, he struggled a little bit today. All that is good for him. All the minutes are good. Just have to learn that you're going to play with Dame and Giannis and Brooke and Bobby and Chris Middleton. They all have to learn how to play with stars.
The Bucks season opener is next Wednesday night in Philly against the 76ers. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Evanston to play Northwestern tomorrow at 11 a.m. On Sunday, the Packers host the Houston Texans. Rich Bisaccia asked, what is he like about their new veteran kicker, Brandon McManus?
I mean, what's not to like? You know, he's got a lot of skins on the wall. He's been in a lot of pressure situations. He's had kicks in the Super Bowl. He's played in cold weather. He's played in hot weather. You know, he's been successful for a long time, so we're glad we got him right now.
That's Packers special team coordinator Rich Bisaccia with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and still a little breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the upper 60s to near 70. Then by Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Standing up for everyday Americans is at the very foundation of who Kamala Harris is. Raised in a middle-class home by a working mother who instilled in her a passion for justice and equality.
That's why when Kamala Harris became district attorney, she stood up for our kids, keeping them safe by prosecuting sex offenders. She also pioneered a program to give nonviolent drug offenders a second chance. As president, Kamala Harris will continue the fight for everyday Americans. She's already lowered the cost of your health insurance and medications. Insulin is now capped at $35 for seniors. But there's more to do, because mortgages, rents, groceries, and utility bills are still too high. Harris's plan to fix it? Build more homes to lower prices and make the wealthy and billionaires pay their fair share so we get a break. All her life, Kamala Harris has been standing up for us. And she doesn't plan to stop anytime soon.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by Chris Alfheim, candidate for State Senate District 18. We'll be talking about Northeastern Wisconsin politics and why your vote matters.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and I'd like to introduce and present to you none other than Mr. Nick Ramos. He's with Wisconsin. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good morning to you. How are you, Nick?
Man, good morning, girl. Happy Friday, brother. And I just want to say, first time caller, but long time listener of the show. When I was living in Milwaukee, I'm not a morning person, but man, I would throw on the Earl Ingram Show. So it is a treat to be here with you, man.
Hey, man, the honor is all ours. Let's talk about, you know, where we are. So many, you've been involved and engaged for a long time in making sure people have outlets and are not denied their you know, opportunity to vote in this society. And so you've seen, now even though you're a young man, all the different ways that people have concocted to prevent people from voting. Let's talk a little bit of why, you know, you continue to fight this battle and why it's so important that people don't get discouraged, especially in an election like this one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like every presidential, like we end up hearing folks and it ends up, they end up saying a lot of things as far as, well, this is the biggest presidential election of our generation. This is biggest of like we're gonna see. And a lot of times the scenario ends up being we see the loudest people in the room, they end up being bullies and election deniers during some of the most tumultuous and stressful times during our elections, and then we don't get to hear the credible messengers. We don't get to hear the people that are literally trying to uplift and make sure that our elections are being held with the most integrity and being ran efficiently and smoothly. And so for me, in a state like Wisconsin, the biggest thing is that, you know, I want people to know that we are more powerful than we even know, that we have a lot of agency, even when you see all these big flashy numbers coming in and you hear these really loud people come into our space and say all types of things with no facts or no evidence to really back it up. There is really good work that is happening, and that clerks and election administrators and folks that want to just see our communities be the best that they possibly can be. They're everyday people like you and me, and they want to make sure that Wisconsin is doing all the right things. And so I want to make sure that everybody has a seat at the table. I want to make sure that within the democracy space that we can continue to work and make sure that make sure that we go ahead and do all the things to make sure everybody gets a vote that gets counted and make sure that they get to participate in our democracy. And so, I mean, that's why I fight for it. I want to make sure that we all get heard, we all get represented. And I mean, it's the stuff that I live and die for.
You know, man, it is more than frustrating because you keep hearing the same thing over and over and over on the other side of this. Your thoughts about the fact that illegal immigrants are going to be voting in overwhelming numbers, that lie that continues to go on and in many instances unchallenged. What are your thoughts about whether or not this election is going to be overwhelmed by illegal immigrants voting? How much truth is that?
You know, it's unfortunate that we have to sit here and even take time to address it, but it's important that we do address it, Earl, because you get to hear on the national stage people like the former president and other people that are out here saying things like, you know, there's ballot harvesting. There's people that are not only going and voting, but taking hundreds of ballots and stuffing them in boxes, which is a lie. You hear people say, oh, there are non-citizens voting in mass numbers that are going to change election results, and that is a lie. Like, there are so many checks and balances to make to ensure that people that are U.S. citizens 18 years or older and are residents here are voting. And it just think about it from the lens of a non-citizen. Do you really think that they want to have themselves set themselves up for criminal conviction and potentially be deported? Well, they would be getting deported out of this country if they try and vote. And I have someone on my staff who is literally a non-citizen, is a DACA recipient, and in a whole webinar went on to My Vote Wisconsin to show what it would be like to try and register to vote as a non-citizen. And it absolutely red flagged her immediately. So it's not like there are all these ways and slips and cracks. Like, no question that there are people that will go and try and do it, and they get caught, and then they get every ounce of the law hit with them. But it is not happening like this wave. And like, now we're looking, that's why I'm wearing this yellow hat for people that are watching us on camera today with the constitutional amendment that's on the ballot that addresses this question. Because there's a lot of fear mongering that's going on, and a lot of people that are trying to stoke up fears for a problem that is not a problem. And we have politicians in this state that want to create a constitutional amendment that is going to really create this problem and make it so that folks are going to have to vote not only with an ID, but with a birth certificate. And that's not right.
You know, Nick, there are corporations, many major corporations that are financing this foolishness. And people can't possibly believe that could be happening. Why would corporations financially be supporting this kind of lies, these kind of lies?
I mean, it's so crazy to think that 2010 was 14 years ago, because I remember 2010 like it was yesterday. But I can just say that, you know, terrible Supreme Court precedent and decisions have opened the door for corporations to be able to stick their thumb on the scale and be able to use money and be able to influence elections. I mean, ever since Citizens United, where basically said corporations are people too, which I don't know about you, but I've never looked at McDonald's and said, wow, you're a person, and I think you're allowed to be able to get involved with our politics, and you can use the almighty dollar to then send it to Wisconsin or send it to, you know, Colorado to then influence the election. It's like they have a vested interest because they want to see politicians that'll do their bidding. They want politicians that'll be in office that will either create the types of laws that will then help them in their bottom dollar. So it's like, for us, like, it is so important that people know that it's not just like the people in the highest places with the most money that they're idiots. Like, they know how to move money, and they know how to get involved in a way that is highly effective and persuasive. And We need to make sure that we are pushing back against the lawmakers who continue to change the campaign finance system and make sure that there is transparency, there's safeguards, instead of what we're seeing right now, record-breaking numbers. Every day, it looks like we're breaking another record for how much money is getting spent in this state, and we're still a few weeks away from November 5th. So don't be discouraged, Wisconsin. I promise you that after November, with these fair maps that we have in place that got passed in February when the governor signed them, we are going to have a new legislature out there that is going to have a backbone for campaign finance reform, and we're going to put our arms around this so it's not the Wild West.
So if you're just joining us, I'm joined by Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, none other than Mr. Nick Ramos. You can join us at 855-752-4842. I can tell you, sir, that I, you know, what I'm seeing and what I've seen in this organized effort by the Republican Party to prevent Americans from voting. What do you want to say to people who get frustrated? Your organization does a great job of staying on top of things and getting people to not get frustrated and to know that there is support out there. What do you want to say to people who get frustrated and think that as Americans, they're going to lose their right to vote because of politics?
Man, you are always with the one-liners and just the silky smooth words, brother, but it's true. Honestly, look, guys, like I want you to hear me and hear me very clearly. Like, I am not a born and raised Wisconsinite, but I've been living here since 2014, and I want to make Wisconsin my home for the long haul. And the reason why is because of the people and their resiliency. Like, there, people have been fed crap sandwiches in this state for years and continue to be fed them for years. And the thing is that people didn't think we'd be able to achieve fair maps. People didn't think we would be able to defeat two constitutional amendments in August. And like this deck is always stacked against us here. And yet somehow, some way, people say, you know what? The sky is not falling. I know that I have people power on my side and that my neighbors and my friends and my family, we can do something. And I try and harness that energy. I make sure that I'm just literally the conduit to it, because I know that I cannot be effective if the people do not buy in on it. And so I show people, look, I want to be able to gather the resources to apply the pressure to be able to create the sustainable change so that we could be thinking about a day where we actually have equal representation, a day where we can be thinking about substantive policy that will actually impact our lives, a day where we can all be able to quit all of this bickering and all this toxicity that comes with our politics here in Wisconsin, because it all it has become is a dogfight, and it shouldn't be that way.
You know, Nick, man, I am feeling you, man. I'm loving the things that you are saying. And as we get close to this election, I got to get you on a couple more times. But Luke, I want you to, you hear Nick, and Nick is really on point. What question you want to ask Nick, Luke?
Nick, I just want to know kind of what are you guys hearing out there in the community? Because the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign does a lot with the community engagement. How has that process been going? And what is it like with just over 2 weeks left before Election Day?
Well, I got to tell you, I think right now the most reoccurring thing has been, man, people are tired of the ads. Like, I think people thought they were safe when they were cutting cable. And then they realized, you know, if you don't have the premium service and you get ads on, you know, your Prime Video or, you know, some of these other streaming services, you ain't safe.
Hey, we got to get your whole head thought. Remember where you are. You're young enough to remember where you were. 855-752-4842. Nick Ramos, who is the Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, is on the docket on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris. A better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My guest is Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos. So, Nick, you know, you guys are burning the candle at both ends. And you know, as this stretch run comes into play, we're hearing all sorts of things about people being frustrated, thinking this race is over. What do you want to say to people, man, who are listening about the fact that this is never over until the last person votes?
Oh, I mean, being from Cleveland, I can tell you I remember 2016 vividly. And I think one of the biggest memes that was happening on the internet that time was, you know, how the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. And a lot of polling that was taking place at that time was everybody had Hillary Clinton. It was like a 97% probability rate that she was going to win the election. And then a 3% probability rate Donald Trump will win. And how radically that shifted. Like, I just want people to know that it is a roller coaster ride. It goes up and down. People, if you listen to all the talking heads that are out there that are telling you it's a done deal, then it's going to make you feel like you need to sit at home. But you're absolutely right, Earl, that like elections, like ads don't vote, signs don't vote, people vote. And if you vote, when it all gets tallied up, you can be surprised. In a state like Wisconsin, where the last presidential election got decided by 1%, it is razor thin, and every single vote is going to matter, and that's why we need people to show up and show out.
So let me ask you, man, millennials and the impact that they can really have on this election. You know, you guys, you know, spending a lot of time working with – it's one thing. I've always said that it's a waste of time, effort, and money to try to get, you know, baby boomers to come out and vote, man. Come on. I never understood why they keep spending money trying to influence baby boomers. The money needs to be spent on generation millennials, you know, generation Ys and others. Am I off base with that, man?
Well, I mean, I definitely think at the heart of what you're saying, it is there's a lot of things to unpack in there, and that, like, with the baby boomers, they are an older generation that is established with more time on their hands and more disposable income than, let's say, you know, the kids that are either coming out of college or the millennials who are working their way and trying to establish themselves. But you know that, like, that population, and I've been reading a lot of articles and studying the numbers, that the millennials and some of these younger voters are going to most likely be the thing that tips the scale in one direction or another. And I mean, if you need proof, then, like, think about when Roe v. Wade got overturned and then the election that proceeded right after that. Youth voting skyrocketed, and it changed literally the legislatures in many different states and also federally. And so my thing is that I think it's a combination. Like, our, you know, our elders, they definitely deserve to be loved on, and that, you know, they aren't just forgotten because they are still here. They're still kicking and they are engaged and they've got more time on their hands and they're watching, you know, the news and they're paying attention and they are tapped in. And that's why I'm trying to do my best to be able to bridge the gap between, you know, the younger generation that's coming up and wants to be politically active and the older generation that's been, you know, seasoned and has seen several election cycles and they've seen some of these silly games that get played, and they want, I want it all to be in harmony and in synergy together. So I think it's a balance of the two, for sure.
So, you know, Nick, I'm one of those elders. And so I am not saying that the elders should not be included in, oh, in, yeah, these discussions. Right. What I'm saying is that the elders are going to vote. You know, we've been voting. It's a part of our DNA. So we're going to vote. And as tight as these elections are, I hear many young people who are saying, this is not going to change for me. Why should I vote? Things don't change for me. I'm struggling. You know, I can't move forward. I've got a college degree, and yet I can't move forward. And so I think when we really kind of look at this thing from the perspective of many, I'm an older guy who constantly is connected to young people. I learned a long time ago, if you want to stay young, hang around young people. So I hang around young people, man, and I talk with them, and many of them feel hopeless. They feel like things are not getting better for them. And I hear them saying, well, I'm not voting because it's not going to change things for me. It's the reason why I'm saying to you, and do you find that, you know, when you guys are working with the young people?
Yeah. I mean, and thank you for the point of clarity, too, because you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, we are not just old yellering the elders. Like, no question. They're showing up. They're showing out. And I definitely think, too, that, like, the apathy that does get felt by some of the voters, and especially some of the younger voters who don't see the political process playing out in favor of them. And then they're like, all right, well, why would I bother showing up if it's really not going to matter? It's just this political theater that I see on TV. These guys and gals, they hate each other's guts and nothing good gets done. But I can tell you guys that we are on the precipice of something great here. And if you do continue to be engaged, I promise you that we have an opportunity to be able to hold these lawmakers accountable and actually be able to see the types of legislation that will impact your life. But it requires us to show up. You can't win the lottery unless you buy a lottery ticket. And we have better odds than the lottery, I promise you. Our votes and our voices actually can count. And they do count, and we want to make sure that they get heard. And then if we have lawmakers that are actually listening to us, we can make sure that they are putting in place the types of things that make sense for our lives. And that's ball game.
855-752-4842. My guest is Nick Ramos, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I got to tell you, I was going to end our conversation at the bottom of the hour. But, man, I'm enjoying you so much, we're going to carry it on. To talk about, 855-752-4842, a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
Bottom of my soul.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bail hearing today in Manitowoc in the case of a couple from Two Rivers charged in the death of her 3-year-old son, Elijah Vu. Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LaBrie.
While I will not comment further on the details of the case, I assure you that we remain committed to working with law enforcement to hold those responsible for his death accountable.
Katrina Bauer is charged with chronic child neglect causing death and obstructing an officer. Jesse Vang is charged with child abuse and hiding a corpse. Kamala Harris is promising help for young Americans and first-time homebuyers. The vice president brought her presidential campaign to Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay yesterday. She also accused Donald Trump of planning to cut social services. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Fire danger is high across all of Northeast Wisconsin today. The DNR is enforcing burn bans in many areas due to dry conditions caused by lack of precipitation in the past month and the drying of vegetation this fall. The DNR's Amy Penn.
This week we actually have had a couple fires started from mowing operations, you know, so it has to be pretty dry before that can cause a wildfire.
You can visit the DNR website to see the most recent dashboard on fire danger. The winner's been crowned, and the coolest thing made in Wisconsin comes from Northeast Wisconsin, or at least Northeast Wisconsin adjacent, Sheboygan County. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Johnson Financial Group announced that after weeks of voting and competition, Jolly Good Soda made by Cryer Foods in Random Lake came out on top. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Bad news from the world of pop music as One Direction's Liam Payne died after a fall from a third-story balcony in Buenos Aires, Argentina, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Payne was discovered while performing in front of Simon Cowell on the show The X Factor, which led him to the band One Direction. Liam Payne was just 31 years old. Saturday Night Live's 50th season is off to a roaring start. A little extra hype thanks to the movie Saturday Night, which tells the story about the moments leading up to the first broadcast of the show in 1975, is probably not hurting. The show's October 12th episode drew its highest ratings in over 3 years with host Ariana Grande and musical act Stevie Nicks. NBC reports that the show pulled in over 5.5 million viewers for the actual episode and a true 516 million views on social media. The first show of the season featuring Jean Smart as the host and Jelly Roll brought in the biggest numbers for a season opener since 2020. 50 years is not a bad run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to fishonmarinette.com to learn more.
Mostly sunny and still a little breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the low 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the upper 60s to near 70. Then by Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin. Featuring 6 elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and 2 iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss. Following Joe Taranzo Cannon. Playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Mino and the Mayor.
We have with us Beckett Kay, who is a 9-year-old podcaster. Who's your favorite player then? I mean, you like
on the Ravens?
In general.
In general. Oh, let me guess.
I know what you're going to say, and Patrick, I'm not going to like it.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't like your sarcasm.
We're talking in prank, too. All right. I happen to like
it's
the guys.
Justin Jefferson.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll find out what 9-year-old podcaster Beckett Kay's got to say about Sunday's game.
And we'll check in with Mike Pritzel and get an update on hurricane relief efforts in Florida.
Join us.
Weekday mornings 6 till 9.
for mami me ama, me quiere en su cama, fresas y coquete. Travis sonando cubanas, me gusta portarlas, dinero es poder.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My guest is Nick Ramos. He is the Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So, Nick, what do you want to say to people who are being misled to believe that this is not going to be a fair and balanced election, and people should fear that our government can no longer guarantee that the elections are going to be fair and balanced. And the fact that people are willing to say that because one man can lead people in this nation. I never would have thought in my lifetime that we would fall prey to allowing one man to mislead the American people that our elections are not fair and balanced.
It is a very interesting time. And I think about the textbooks that will get written about this time period, because it is beyond what I could have imagined. My mom used to watch Twilight Zone episodes every New Year's, and she used to record them on the VHS tape. And I thought, man, like, I think these are like outlandish, and I'm sure during their time. But look, here's the thing. There are so many great organizations in here that are safeguarding our democracy. And beyond that, like, I think about like a lot of the funny business that has been happening with ballot drop boxes here in Wisconsin. I mean, you would think for all intents and purposes that ballot drop boxes were as bad as bear traps think about like some of the worst things out there. The way that they're being painted, it's as if, you know, they are going to rig and steal elections with these things. And you watched a mayor in Wausau literally take a drop box, do his best Bob the Builder impression with a helmet on and a vest and stuff, and then haul it into his office and hold it hostage for a whole week. And he would have kept it in his office if people didn't apply pressure to him. And then I looked at it and I was like, you know what? Like, we can't let people that are in official positions do things like this, because it has a chilling effect. People see this and then they don't have faith in their elections. They don't want to show up if they think their mayor can go take a drop box and go just run with it and go stop. I'm like, I'm over here thinking like, man, I got to go stop the steal. I hear people yell, stop the steal. I'm like, man, I got to stop this guy from stealing a drop box. And so the big thing is that we were able to get him to not only put that drop box back out there, but there's an investigation into him. We rallied folks in Wausau to be able to put a citizen's complaint on the table, and we're not done. Like, people get to see that the loudest people and the biggest bullies in the room, they don't get to win. This is not a movie where you get to predict the ending like that. We got good people, and we are the Jedis trying to take out the Empire, and we're over here doing it, and we're doing it in style. And I'm telling you that, like, when we went up to Wausau, like, they had all types of hostile words for me at that point, because we did so much work to be able to put it on the map. And I just say, look, I stayed behind. I talked to people that were on the other side, and some of them wanted to hear what I had to say. Some of them didn't. But I was just like, you know what? At the end of the day, we got to be able to have conversations, people. And like, you guys want election integrity, so do we. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, your vote is being protected just like mine is. But like, we can't let people be able to think that they could stick their thumb on the scale and then rig the rules and move the goalposts so that we can't kick field goals. That's not fair. Like, we all deserve to have a seat at the table.
You know, man, the insanity of people being frustrated because somebody else is using drop boxes and leading people to believe that that's somehow illegal and criminal. And then you get the same opportunity to use those drop boxes. and you don't take advantage of it. You know, it's more than frustrating. I recall, especially when Scott Walker was the governor, and they came up with this, you can't give people water who are waiting in line, you know, to vote. Elderly people, you can't support them during, man, just, you know, 80, 90 degree weather. And so people buy into these things because they don't trust or believe in our government. And I'll say this, man, I really don't understand how people who claim to love the Constitution, people who claim to love the flag, people who claim to love democracy, when it comes time to show that that's what you believe in and what you trust, they somehow say no to that. And they never did that before this one man came into play and into office. And that's the part of this man that I, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand how people are willing to, you know, to give up all the things that they believed their entire lives for one man. Luke, your thoughts?
Well, and it's not even that when he came into office, it wasn't until he lost. It was him losing. And it was that's the frustrating part about the attack on absentee voting, is because before 2020, it was a very nonpartisan way to vote. Like, Democrats, Republicans, alike, independents used absentee ballots to vote. Like, it is a process of expanding the vote beyond Election Day, because everybody should be able to vote. Everybody should vote in every single election, is my stance. And for some people, that's a very, very radical view of voting. Like, there are people out there that only want certain people to be able to vote. And so they make it very narrow. They restrict hours. They restrict registration deadlines. They restrict where you can return an absentee ballot. All of those different things. But the heating up of the attack on absentee voting specifically only became the scapegoat for when Donald Trump couldn't explain how about 50,000 voters here in the state of Wisconsin decided to vote for Republicans down ticket in 2020, but not for him. And so he had a really hard time, and not just in Wisconsin. We saw it in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona. He had a hard time accepting the fact that he lost because Republican voters weren't voting for him. And then he decided to use the boogeyman of absentee ballots to be the scapegoat for where he directs that rage and make it more difficult for all Wisconsinites and all U.S. citizens to be able to vote in our elections. It's crazy.
You know, Luke, that's so well said. I will say to you, you and Nick, I'm a dinosaur, man. Look, I've voted in every election since I was 18 years old. I don't care what it is, I voted in it. And I'm a dinosaur because, man, I vote on Election Day. I don't care how many people are in line, I vote on Election Day. But that's me. And my poll is half a block up the street from me. So it's not a difficult proposition for me to do that. So I understand people who have more difficult times getting to their polls, voting ahead of time, people in nursing homes and other places. But Nick, everybody has that opportunity, not just Democrats, am I right?
Hey. And that's, I mean, I just want to give you guys some flowers for a second, because y'all preaching and it's Friday and it's not even Sunday, man. I'm over here. I'm bobbing my head. I'm like, man, these guys are really over here spitting. But real talk, honestly, like, people aren't taking the time to think about what all this does to everybody. Like, I get to read reports about slowed mail service that might be impacting this election, okay? And what is the easiest, cleanest remedy to that? A way that if you got your absentee ballot mailed to you, but you're not confident that it might be able to get there in time, to just go drop it off, like, be able to drop it off in a secure, reliable box that is called a ballot drop box. Like, and that drop box don't care if you are a Republican, a Democrat, Constitutional Party, Green Party, Independent, it doesn't matter. Like, and absentee ballot voting has become so popular, especially after the pandemic, that like it becomes this death by a thousand cuts. Like what Luke was saying is 100 million percent right. That like you get to watch the literally minimization of hours to vote, taking away drop boxes. We got a constitutional amendment on the ballot now that is going to very subtly change the language as far as who can vote in this state. And people need to pay attention to that, because think about just, again, voter IDs. Like, we have to vote with them here, but do people really understand the fact that 10% of the voting age population does not have a government-issued ID? So in a state like Wisconsin, where we have 4.6 million people that are eligible to vote, that means 460,000 people they would not be able to vote because of our voter ID law, because they do not have a government-issued ID. So then if this amendment passes, and like think about the fact that there isn't rampant non-citizen voting happening here, because U.S. citizens are voting in our elections. But if they pass this thing, we have not only the voter ID component of it, but you open the door for folks to be like, not only do you need your ID, but I need you to prove your citizenship too. You got to bring in your birth certificate. And I worked with people that low income and people that do not have those documents readily available. And it is a nightmare to try and get those things for those people. And think about the maiden, people have maiden names. Like, people want to try and confuse and disassociate and make people think that they don't have agency. But the truth will always set us free, guys. And like, I promise you that people are throwing all types of things at the wall, these conspiracies, to see if they stick, instead of actually using truth and facts. And my last thing I'll say is, if anybody wants to see how it's run, be a clerk, be an election inspector, see how the operation works. You will find out very quickly that it is not all this flash in the pan business that you guys are fear-mongering it up to be. It's not crazy what they're doing, and you would believe in our process and stop making it harder for us to do the work.
So Nick, if you're just joining us, I'm joined by Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. These people who can sit and watch what goes on at elections, they can be intimidating. What's acceptable, what's not acceptable? Because I've seen, you know, people over your shoulder as being given, they're checking to make sure you're who you are. What do people have to accept? What's acceptable and what's not? And if you've got somebody who's bird dogging you, what are your rights?
Absolutely. And that is a fabulous question, Earl, because here in Wisconsin, things feel like they get hotter and hotter when we get closer to election season. And I want people to know that if you're like, for instance, if you're somebody like Earl and you're going in to vote on election day, you'll notice that you'll have regular election inspectors, or AKA poll workers. They're in there helping you get the whole process going, get you, make sure you register, make sure you're voting and stuff. But you'll also notice in the room, there'll be poll monitors inside the room. And like, as Earl said, you can't have people bird dogging you. There's a designated area where poll monitors are allowed to stay and observe the electoral process, so that they want to make sure that there isn't any funny business. And I think that's great. You know, transparency is good, but they can't be barking at you. They can't be, you know, they have to keep their distance. And then even outside the building, like, you have to be 100 feet away if you have like attire or different things. You can't electioneer, because they think that you're going to try and then intimidate, or like try and make people vote based upon what you're wearing or what you're saying or what you're doing. And so you have to keep a distance away from polling locations. And again, just raise those things to the people that are on site. They will help you out. And then there are ways to be able to hold people accountable.
All right. 855-752-4842. Nick Ramos, executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, doing a bang, bang job on a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
For mami me ama, me quiere en su cama, fresas y coquete. Travis sonando cubanas, me gusta portarlas, dinero es poder.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My guest is Mr. Nick Ramos, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And man, he's doing a bang, bang job. Luke, you said you had a text.
Yeah, we got L.A. Tom texted in on the Civic Media app asking Nick if you can talk a little bit about Interstate Crosscheck, a new film by Greg Pallas, and how it affects Wisconsin.
Wow. Well, I mean, I can say I haven't seen the movie yet. We did a film screening here in Madison, and then I heard that my dear friend Greg is coming up here to do a run on this particular film. And I can just tell you this much, like, you know, if you're watching at home, I mean, I literally have the signed copy of the movie that he was running back in the latest Georgia runoff, which I feel like there's a Georgia runoff every year, it seems like. And with that, I mean, Greg, literally, I mean, he goes so deep into looking into the voter suppression efforts that bubble under the surface and why these things need to come to light and why we as a society need to be able to butt back against these things. And so I just say, you know, if it is anything like what I've seen with this vigilante movie and, you know, the Georgia's vote suppression hitman, like if it's anything like that, then I promise you it will dive deep into the very efforts that we have been describing here in, on the ground, where you see lawmakers do nefarious things under the guise of very confusing laws, and then we get to then feel the impact and the ripples of it down the road, and then we have to then basically take 10 steps forward, 15 steps back to try and get our way back, not just to purgatory, we're trying to get back to heaven, we're trying to get back to a place where there's balance. And yet, you know, these people, we get to do all these things and leave us out of the process, and that's not fair. That's not what democracy looks like to me, and that shouldn't be what it looks like to you either.
Nick, do you think we ever get back to a time where we have faith and trust in our democracy, in our election process? Is this just something that's, you know, a blip because of Donald Trump, and once he's off the stage, sanity comes back? Or do you think this is the norm, the new norm?
Oof. Oh, man, what a heavy question on a Friday to ask me. You know, I'm going to say this. I honestly think that at the end of the day, we cannot deny the fact that there is a part of society that hears the former president speak and is instantly engaged by him. And I think that that's part of our society. It's not as if it has just never been there. I think it's more or less been just amplified and emboldened, especially during a presidency where you got to see, you know, for instance, I think about like Charlottesville and, you know, him going on stage as the commander in chief of the free world and say there were good people on both sides, although there was one car that drove through a crowd full of people. And then, you know, people then were pissed off about that. And so my thing is, it's like, I think we can be able to get to a place where we age out of some of this really hyper partisan extremism that I'm seeing. But I honestly think that, like, we have to also think about how we can engage those individuals and not just write them off as, you know, cases that are just going to have no solution or no end in sight, no light at the end of the tunnel. Because at the end of the day, if we want to try and think about a society where our democracy works for us and civility, it means having conversations with people that we don't ideologically see eye to eye with, instead of being like, well, I hear what you say, but I don't care what you say. So I'm going to just go this way. You can go that way. And as long as you don't touch me or bother me, then, like, you know, we don't have problems. But even then, that doesn't guarantee that people aren't trying to raise hell on people, because right now you get to hear fear mongering about all types of things that actually don't add up. So long way to say, I think we can be able to get a little bit closer to a Trump time, where it feels like everything is so radical and hyperpartisan. But I do think that there's going to be some staying power. I mean, and you saw it like with the Tea Party movement at one point before, you know, this whole Trump thing. I mean, I think there's just going to be a lot of remnants that will continue and may evolve, but we got to be vigilant.
So what's the encouragement you want to give the listening audience in the last couple minutes about what they should think about as they go to vote, if they already haven't?
Well, we are enjoying maps that have been signed by the governor, and I don't want people to miss this opportunity. If you get one shot at the king, you best not miss. And I got to tell you that, like, the last time we had maps that were actually signed by the legislature and the governor was literally 1971. Do you remember the Bucks? You had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but he was really Lew Alcindor back then. Like, it's been decades since we could get fair maps here in this state, or even just have maps actually get decided by the political process. And we have a 5-year clock in front of us. Next census is coming at 2030, and we go back in the same process if we let them stay the same. So I need people to think about races beyond president and Senate. Our state legislative race is so important, and you got to vote no on this constitutional amendment because it's setting us backwards.
Listen, man, we got to go. I want to say to you, it's been an honor and a privilege. I'm happy that you're on in radio. But anyway, we're going to make sure that we bring you back. You know, next week I'll be in touch. Thank everybody who made the show go. Luke, thank you, man, for a masterful job the last couple of days. Be glad, you know, on Monday to have Calvin back.
He's going to be well-rested. I'm not going to take it personal. He'll be well-rested. We'll be all good.
Up next, Matt Nair on air, Greg Bach and Jane Madnair on Madnair on Air. Enjoy a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Be safe, and I'll see you guys on Monday.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guest for Freaky Friday is Racine paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who brings actual audio footage of a ghost. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this."
Just breathe. Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.